you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, November 19th, 2021. Jason, I'm pretty excited. Though Thanksgiving is 6 days away, a week from yesterday, this Sunday at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, you're having the Thanksgiving dinner after church. It's like my favorite meal of the year, and I'm going to get to have at least two outings to enjoy that food. So that's kind of fun how our church has had that history of that Thanksgiving meal and all the fixins and the turkey and the mashed potatoes and everything. So
more mashed potatoes. We know what you're about.
Yeah, that's right. I love mashed potatoes with that sour cream in them and homemade. And so I kind of share that. I'm excited about Thanksgiving, obviously, and giving thanks to the Lord. But I'm thinking with next week being Thanksgiving week, and I'm going to probably have a couple specials. There's a couple different ones I'm weighing. There's like Pilgrim's Story, and there's another one about Thanksgiving, and then there's one about a sea captain and such. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do next week. But we might not have the Friday edition of Mark and Friends with you on it. So I thought I wanted to talk a little about Thanksgiving. That's why I opened up with the be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I mean, if this is God's will to be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks, and that's part of God's will for us, we should be kind of aware of that and practice it and meditate on it and think about it. Huh. And so I want to talk a little about that, but I have some fun facts about Thanksgiving, and I thought I should give them out now so when people meet for Thanksgiving, maybe some are even traveling this weekend to see friends and family members, these would be some fun facts to know about Thanksgiving so they can share them, because next Friday will be post-Thanksgiving, and we start Christmas music that I thought I would share them today. So did you know that the first Thanksgiving was celebrated in 1621 over a three-day harvest festival? It included 50 pilgrims, 90 Wampanoag Indians, and lasted 3 days, and it's believed by historians that only 5 women were present. I don't know. I guess with all the settlers coming over, I would have thought they would have had an equal number of men and women, but maybe to get everything started, building and tilling the land and such, they had, the preponderance were men, but they referenced only 5 women present. I don't know. Historians will say that. Turkey wasn't on the menu at the first Thanksgiving. Rather, it was venison, duck, goose, oysters, lobster, eel, and fish were likely served alongside pumpkins and cranberries, but not pumpkin pie or cranberry sauce. Abraham Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving a national holiday on October 3rd of 1863, but Sarah Josiah Hale, the woman who wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb, convinced Lincoln to make Thanksgiving a national holiday after writing letters for 17 years. Kind of like that biblical story about the persistent widow going to the king, you know, she's going to wear me out. Well, I guess this lady for 17 years wrote letters saying to Abraham Lincoln, proclaim Thanksgiving as a national holiday, which he did in 1863. The history of U.S. presidents pardoning turkeys is patchy. And so I didn't know this, but Harry Truman is often credited with being the first president to pardon a turkey. But that's not quite true. He was the first to receive a ceremonial turkey from the National Turkey Federation, and he had it for dinner. So I don't know how he pardoned it, but that's when it became kind of started. But they go on to say that John F. Kennedy was the first to let a Thanksgiving turkey go, And then that was followed by Richard Nixon, who sent his turkey to the petting zoo. And then George H.W. Bush is the president who formalized the turkey pardoning tradition in 1989. So not that long ago. So that's kind of interesting. There are four towns in the United States named Turkey. You know, so in the states of Arizona, Texas, Louisiana, and North Carolina, there's a town called Turkey. The average number of calories consumed on Thanksgiving is 4,500, which I think, I forget how many you're supposed to have for a day, like 2,000 or 3,000. Well, just the Thanksgiving meal, 4,500. I can probably attest to 5,000 or more with all those mashed potatoes and the butter that I add onto them. Butterball answers more than, so butterball turkeys, they answer more than 100,000 turkey cooking questions via their Butterball Turkey Hotline each November and December. The tradition of football on Thanksgiving began in 1876, which shocked me. It was like, wow, 1876, with a game between Yale and Princeton. And then the first NFL games were played on Thanksgiving in 1920. I thought that was a much more recent phenomenon, like on Thanksgiving, there's always the football game, but it began in 1876. And then, finally, the ninth fun fact about Thanksgiving, more than 54 million Americans are expected to travel during the Thanksgiving holiday this year. That's up 4.8% from last year. Woohoo! Okay, that's...
Wow.
So, everyone, you have some turkey trivia or fun facts to share in the coming days, but I just went on Google. You know, you type in thoughts about Thanksgiving, and you can get Thanksgiving poems, Thanksgiving songs, Thanksgiving themes, and then I saw the fun facts, and I thought I would share that with everyone. Thank you, God, in a sense, for Google, or for the Google search engine, that you can find so many good things and hopefully healthy things and not get distracted by all the garbage and the things that aren't so healthy for you, but I appreciated reading that and sharing that. And I have some additional things to give thanks for. You primarily, thank you for being available these, I guess, about 10 years for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And now being on our 19 frequencies, there's a lot of new listeners or people that have never heard Mark and Friends before. And you're the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And I'll save this for another day, but how God orchestrated having Skip say, you got to come meet our pastor. You're going to really like him. He had a background being a grocery store manager for Jewel Food Store like you, and you just guys are going to hit it off. And the brief story is Skip wanted me to be introduced to you, and shortly after that, I think within about 10 days, I invited you over to share some of your testimony over the air. And in the midst of that, I was thinking, gosh, I like this guy, and he's got a passion for God and God's Word, and I wonder if he might be a part of a future Mark and Friends, you know, maybe on Fridays or Wednesdays. And it came at a point in this ministry where we didn't know if Mark and Friends would continue and what we were going to do, and how God raised you up, and these last 10 years, you in a variety of different ways have served the ministry and served the listener with your passion for dividing God's Word and teaching and preaching and trips to Israel and many other things. So I give thanks to God for you. I give thanks to God for our board meeting we had this past Wednesday, and we met and discussed many things in the vision of this ministry. And these board members are all faithful followers of Jesus with a heart for reaching the lost, yet equipping the saints. So it was a really good meeting. I think it went about 2.5 hours. Our board chair said, Mark, you said you always get done in an hour and a half. And he said, you're the reason this is running over. So, because I made a big deal to him at one of the former meetings. He's relatively a new board chair. And I said, yeah, we always get done around an hour and a half. We want to get in and out. And if it goes too long, then you're just, you know, beating the dead horse, as they say. You're just rehashing things that should just be discussed and dealt with. And so he was like, I'm not saying that, and he's pointing at me, that there's somebody that's making this go longer, but, you know, this person didn't want these to go long, and yet this person keeps talking. So I was sharing a whole vision. It was our first board meeting at Marketplace Mall, and so I told him about Testimony Tuesday events there and maybe Worship Fridays, where we could have a musician, singer-songwriter, somebody that could facilitate a time of worship at the noon hour and some other things, and it's coming together. Most of everything is set, and we're working on the studio now and a couple other things, and we'll be ready to go, and it'll be full service. So excited about that and giving thanks to the Lord for that. And as the board met, we talked about a number of topics and even an endowment fund that we're going to be putting together so that we can continue into the future providing for the radio ministry through an endowment fund that's set up that people donate into, and then the interest is used to facilitate the ministry costs. So excited about that and just the vision for the future. So, there's many things we could give thanks to the Lord for. But this passage, I know I'm kind of just springing it on you. You had no idea I would talk about it, but I just thought that be joyful always. Again, during a time when people are stressed out, are taxed, are overworked, are pressured, you know, that's an interesting concept. Pray continually. Many of us, most of us, maybe pray at meals or pray when we wake up or pray with our children before we go to bed. But to pray continually, that takes practice and intentionality. And is it a mindset? You know, that's an interesting concept, to pray continually. And then give thanks, not just give thanks periodically or when things are going good, give thanks in all circumstances, not in some, not in many, not in most, in all circumstances. And then the crowning jewel, for this is God's will for you, I mean very personal, for you in Christ Jesus. Those of us that are followers of Jesus, this is kind of a practice, a pattern. This is an objective, really, where this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so, wow, so I don't know, that it just struck me this morning as I was giving thanks to the Lord for so many things with the radio ministry and for my family. I mean, there's an endless thing. Gosh, running water, heat, you know, transportation, a job, a ministry work that I have the privilege of being a part of, all the things that we're spoiled with, that we're given. And then the fact that God so designed it for me to understand him. Well, I don't understand him, but the fact that I've been called to be a part of his kingdom and that he's given me the insights to recognize I needed Jesus, that I'm flawed, that I'm a sinner. I mean, what a gift from God. You know, and I know there's that predestination or election. I don't know how it works, but all I know is thank you, God, that I know you exist, that you sent Jesus, that I totally embrace as my Savior and Lord. The only reason I can have a relationship with you, the only way I'm going to ever get into heaven is the work that he did on my behalf. I mean, the fact that I get that and totally believe that is, I think, another gift of God. I just didn't generate that knowledge, and I'm going to be a Christian, and I'm going to follow Jesus, and I believe this. I don't know how it all works. I don't know how the Holy Spirit brought to my mind that that is truth, that I can accept it. But I give him thanks regardless of how it all worked, whether I guess he chose me, he chose you, he chose all of those that are tuned in today that are following Jesus. What a gift to give thanks to the Lord for. None of us deserve it or anything. And so, yeah, Thanksgiving is a great time to just remember all the things we can give thanks to the Lord for. And hopefully we live with that Thanksgiving spirit throughout the year. Hopefully every day we can find many, many things to give thanks to the Lord for. So what do you think about this passage? You like this is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. It covers so much.
Yeah, well, you know, I always say context is king. And so we never want to just like key in on one thought, even though that thought is so germane to maybe the time of year we're in or even the season of life we're in. But the heading for this chapter, chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, is ready for the day of the Lord. And when I read that, I thought, you know, as you were talking, I thought readiness begins with the right perspective. And that's really what we're going to get here in Thessalonians. And he's talking about the day of the Lord. That's how the chapter 5 launches out and begins with. It talks about the day of the Lord. So it says in verse 5, now concerning the times of the seasons, brothers, you have no need of anything to be written to you. So what he's saying is, listen, this season, that season, what's happening this year, last year, what's going to happen in the future, I don't have to tell you about any of those things. I don't need to tell you about what tomorrow is going to be like, because you're already fully aware that the day of the Lord is going to come. you're fully aware of ultimately how all of this ends. And so, you know, as I was taught when I studied eschatology, which is really a fancy word for the end times or what happens in the future, they would say that your eschatology frames your present reality. So how you live today is based on what you believe about the future. And that's what being written here to the Thessalonians is, that, listen, you don't need to know about the times and the dates and the seasons. What you need to know about is what's going to happen in the future, what God has promised, because that is going to frame how you live, move, and what you do today. And he even says in beginning in verse 3, while people are saying there is peace and security. So he's saying, listen, all of this craziness in your life is going to happen when everything seems to be going pretty good. You know, and for those of us who have gone through this COVID time, which is all of us, we would say that prior to this COVID time, man, gas was at a low price. The economy seemed to be going good. Everything seemed to be going good. There seemed to be peace and security. But all of a sudden, it says, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. And then he says, but you are not in the darkness. He says, listen, this won't surprise you. Just like Peter says, when fiery trials come upon you, don't be surprised. Why? Because they've been promised. The Bible isn't like a surprise book where we're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? He's told us what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. And he says, but you are not in the darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. So when he says that he's going to come like a thief in the night, he's not. The interesting thing is that built into that is that he's not coming to take something, but he's coming to give something. He's coming to give you the fullness of the promise that God has bestowed upon us, that we have indeed a hope and a future with him. Now we go to verse 5. He says, but you are the children of light. You are the children of day. And now he's going to, the author of 1 Thessalonians is going to play now with light and darkness, and light being those who follow Jesus and darkness being those who walk in the way of the world. And he even alludes to Ephesians 6 and the full armor of God. Verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober-minded, having put on the breastplate of faith, love, and for a helmet of the hope of salvation. So he says, listen, you're equipped with everything you need to go through difficult times, everything that you need. And then he talks about people who are asleep. And sleep speaks of ignorance. It speaks of people who have no defense against all the evil and the immorality in the world. It speaks of inactivity, meaning activity of the spirit. So there are people who are not following God, not following Jesus. They have an ignorance built into them that there is a greater reality at work in the world, which is God. They have no defense from the evil and the immorality around them. And they're inactive in even being a part of something that is better. And then it goes on in verse 9, it says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So this is interesting. He's talked about the difference between those who are awake and those who are asleep. But then he says, listen, this salvation that God has promised, it's for everybody. Even if you are inactive, even if you are ignorant, even if you have no defense, you still have available to you the salvation, because God says it's for all people who call on the name of the Lord. And then he says, so therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. Build up those who are awake and those who are asleep. Encourage those who are awake and encourage those who are asleep. Why? Because how we live today says a lot about what we believe about the future. Readiness for the day of the Lord begins with the right perspective now. And then he goes on to say, rejoice always. Why do you rejoice always? Because you know that there is a greater day coming. We don't rejoice just in happy things. We rejoice in hard things also. We rejoice because there's a joy that's not based on our present circumstances, but it's based on God. And our circumstances change daily, but God doesn't change. And in that, then we pray continually. Now, this is interesting to me. I know we don't have a lot of time left, but this is interesting to me. This doesn't mean that we bow our heads and we close our eyes and we fold our hands. Those are customs of prayer, but those are not prayer in itself. Prayer is communication with God, that every minute of the day we can live out of a constant flowing conversation. Your voice is not essential to prayer. Your posture is not important to prayer. The place is not important to prayer. The time is not important to prayer. What's important to prayer is that you can pray and talk to God wherever you are. Mm-hmm. It doesn't require your voice. You can meditate in your mind and be praying to God and saying, Lord, thinking in your mind and meditating, my Lord, what can I do in this moment? What are you doing in this moment? Who are you in this moment? Lord, I love you so much. And so we can pray continually. And then out of that, we can give thanks, because that's what God wants us to do. Because how do we ready ourselves for the day of the Lord? I think the right perspective for that readiness is thankfulness. Because when we start to live in this kind of a reality, when our present life is rooted in what God has already done and promised to us, we begin to be thankful. Because we look around and we see him at work in everything, and we want to join him in that work, in all of it. And so the interesting thing is that there are a lot of people who are listening right now, and you know who you are, who are going to gather around the table with what we call the in-laws and the outlaws. You're going to gather around the table with people whom you love, but who are also at times very difficult, meaning that there will be hard conversations that may happen, or and maybe even more so than ever before, because there's so much division out in the world. But what you need to make sure you do is, when you set that table and you put out the silverware and you put out the plates and the serving spoons and the turkey and all that, is that you set that table with thankfulness. That first and foremost, you begin that meal by letting everybody know how thankful you are that they are there, how much you love them, and how much we are not going to allow any of that to be derailed by the conversations the culture would love us to have. Instead, at this table, we are going to give thanks for one another. We are going to love one another. And we are going to put on, as the Bible says, the joy and the kindness, the long-suffering, peace, and patience of the Lord.
Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, weekend, and next Thursday, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Christmas music starts Thanksgiving weekend right here on Great News Media.